to kind of stem that off also. But as far as cancellation, so not an insufficient funds, but actually somebody actively taking the initiative to call into either you or call into the home office of the carrier wrote and request that it be canceled. You know, the way that I usually deal with that, a couple things. First of all, if you're working in a geographical area that allows it, I would go do any conservation efforts in person. And I know that's not always possible. You know, even guys that work a pretty tight circle of just a county or two, it's not always possible. But if it's possible, you know, you want to try to do that in person. Just as you didn't try to make your sale over the phone, you're not going to try to make your conservation over the phone. But, you know, once you get in front of a person, so they have a request to cancel, the thing to get back to is their why in the first place, you know, why they took that coverage out. And so that's usually, you know, the first thing when I get in front of somebody that made a request to cancel is, you know, Betty, can you remind me again why we did, you know, why you took this out in the first place? And, you know, well, I was to pay for my funeral, or it was to make sure my kids didn't have to pay for my funeral, or it was to leave extra money for this or that, you know. And once they can remind you of that, of their why, then all you have to do is ask them, you know, what's changed? Do you not care about not leaving that burden on your kids anymore? You know, what's different now than what it was then? And I don't say all of this or any of this as it's a magic bullet. Because it's simply not. A lot of times, you know, for a cancellation, if you're faced with the cancellation is because the kids told me I didn't need it, or the kids told me that they would take care of it or not to worry about it or whatever, a lot of times your conservation efforts are simply going to be in vain, that you're not going to get anywhere with it. And the sad reality of it is, you know, you can go through all that work, explain everything thoroughly, find a great program for somebody, they need it, they can afford it, but yet their son who lives in the basement, who has no clue what he's talking about, tells mom that it's not a good idea, that it's not worth it, it's not a good deal. Well, from that point on, it really doesn't matter what you tell her. You know, she's going to take her son's word over yours. That's not to say we don't always make an attempt to conserve, because we do follow up on absolutely every one of them. But a lot of times, if that's what the reason is, the kids told me to cancel it, or the kids told me I didn't need it, you're probably not going to get anywhere with it. But like I said, my thoughts on that, number one, try to do it in person. Number two, figure out or come back to what their why was, why they took it out in the first place. To see, you know, did that change? Number three, a lot of times a cancellation request would simply be due to misinformation. So they took a policy out, and the lady in the apartment next door said, oh, that's term insurance. That's going to kick you out when you turn 75. You don't want that. And so you ask, you know, why did you cancel it? We know your why is still here. We know you still need it. You know, what was the reason you requested to cancel it? Oh, because that's term insurance. Well, no, it's not. Let's put your policy together, and you can point out right there that it's whole life and that it's never going to kick them out. You can clear that up. So, I mean, that's that misinformation, and whether it comes from a neighbor who has no idea what they're talking about, or their sister-in-law who lives in a different state, or another agent that stopped by and was dishonest with them, whatever. If you can show in writing that that misinformation is not correct, that's another effort that will help you with conservation effort. And then the third thing is to lower the premium, to reduce the face amount. So maybe you were too good of a salesman when you made that sale. So you had somebody convinced on this $100 premium, when in fact, budget-wise, they're more like a $50 premium. Well, a lot of people, when they get to that situation, obviously, you know, pride, as in all of us, is a strong thing. So they get into that situation, and they're 6 months into it, and they're like, I can't do this. You know, this $100 premium is too much. well, instead of calling and asking you, hey, you know, this doesn't work in my budget, can we find something cheaper? They're not going to want to talk to you. They're going to call the carrier directly. They're going to say, just cancel it. But if you can get back in front of them again and say, look, instead of this $100 premium, let's reduce your face amount. Let's get you down to $50 a month. How does that work? So again, that's just another option. And a lot of times we're kind of stabbing in the dark. So we don't know exactly why they canceled, and maybe they won't be forthright and tell us exactly why they canceled. So we've got these different, you know, different steps to go through and try to figure out one of them that's going to work for them. So that's the kind of general approach that I like to take following up on a cancellation request or a conservation attempt. Does anybody else have anything they'd like to add on to that? Okay. Yeah, but Jerry, thank you for bringing that up, because I think that's definitely something that's good to talk about, and not just once, but periodically, because it's definitely part of it and something that that makes a big difference.
I think, you know, I think a lot of people, not a lot, thankfully, but as soon as you leave there or within a day or two, they get buyer's remorse. And I think it's usually over the money, over the premium amount. And the other reasons you gave are certainly valid, and they happen with a regular basis of cancellations. And I think, you know, like on, since Royal Neighbors is one of our major carriers, and they have being a fraternal, they have
that's a major noise going on.
Yeah, I don't know. It sounds like we're on the ocean or something. I think that you need to, those of us selling Royal Neighbors need to maybe not lean too heavy on the pre things, you know, the free dental and so on and so forth as a major part of our sales presentation. But, you know, I think you just got to stick selling to the need and all those things, and then say, and here are your added bonuses, you know, after the sale has been made. But I think there's some danger in that of using the freebies as a reason for them to buy.
Yeah, I think that's a good point too. I mean, you don't want that to be the one thing that they're really interested in. And as you mentioned, the buyer's remorse is going to be more of an issue in that case. And I know that when I write any of the fraternals that have the fraternal benefits, it's always by the way, you know, as we're closing up the sale, you know, you're also going to get information on these things. So, but yeah, and I think that goes kind of just right into the overselling too, of, you know, being a lot better salesman and doing too good of a job on the sale, and then getting them into something that they can't afford. So, and a lot of times too, I mean, we don't know that, can't judge that. And, you know, it's tough for us to, you know, usually we're not in a situation to tell somebody what they can and can't afford, just because we're not privy to the budget and, you know, what exactly is there. So if somebody tells me, yeah, I can afford $120 a month, no problem, well, I'm usually going to take their word for it. But I do know that, you know, if there's problems down the road, whether it be insufficient funds or whether it be a contact me to cancel it, you know, the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to come back to that budget. We got you at $120 a month. Do you think you might be more comfortable at $80 a month or at $60 a month? Just to throw them out there and give them that option to step it down if they need to.
Yeah, I agree wholeheartedly. And I think, you know, as many really good salespeople as we have, they're not wanting to leave money on the table, you know, and that's good. I can't, you know, you got to be there at the table to use your intuition as to what what it may be feasible, may not, you know.
Yeah, and it's, I mean, in general, nobody should change what they're doing because everybody's doing a great job. Now, if you see if you see an uptick in your cancellations or your not takens or something like that, that is something to at least evaluate or to, you know, have a conversation with Jerry or myself. And, you know, we can look at your average premiums and then also look at your not takens and your persistency and see if maybe, you know, overselling is, you know, involved on a larger scale and then that it's something you need to address. But in general, I mean, we're definitely not saying that people need to sell less or to talk people out of sales. But it's just another thing that you might want to evaluate if you feel that the persistency or placements start to become an issue for you.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm certainly not recommending changing the way you do business, but to maybe, like you said, evaluate what's happening with your business.
Yep. And that's something too. I mean, if it's an issue, I mean, you can talk to Jerry or I, and we can look at what your placement is and what your persistency is, and we can tell you if it's, you know, standard, if it's right with the average of what all our guys do and what the industry does on average, or if it's ever too much of an issue, trust that you will hear that from us. I mean, we'll bring it up to you that, hey, we need to look at this together. But, you know, otherwise, if it's not out of line with what's average for the industry, then it's not something that you need to change anything on. So, and part of that is, too, I mean, you know, guys that are new to final expense, but new to insurance in the first place, but maybe have other sales experience, you know, there's going to be some attrition. You know, you're not going to have 100% persistency. You're not going to have 100% placement. And that's just the final expense business in general. So some guys, it's just taken a while to, you know, it seems horrible to them that, you know, man, I lost a sale from last week. You know, I don't understand this lady, when I made this sale, told me it was great and that she wanted it and she needed it. I can't understand why she would cancel it. So like I said, there's just naturally some of that involved, and only when it becomes more than what's expected is it something that we need to address. So does anybody else have anything I'd like to add to that before we move forward? Okay. I really only got one general thing on my agenda today, and that's just kind of AmeriCo in general. And the reason for that is because I've had a lot of guys calling me in the past couple of weeks about AmeriCo, you know, more interested in their products and wanting to get more involved with theirs. And obviously it's pretty much a compensation motivation for them. You know, AmeriCo pays really well. And then last week, you know, they had announced their 8% bonus program instead of their incentive trips. So, and we talked about it last week, but if you weren't on with us, I'm sure you got an email on it. Well, I shouldn't assume that because some of you might not even be contracted with AmeriCo yet. But last week, AmeriCo announced their bonus program to replace their incentive trips. And what it is 8% cash bonus paid out on a biannual basis. So 6-month qualification periods. If at the end of that 6-month qualification period, you have issued and paid, net issued and paid, so again, it's not submitted a business, has to be net issued and paid over $30,000, then you qualify for an 8% cash bonus on that business. And so like the current period that is in, it started December 1st of last year, and it will end at the end of May of this year. And so if you have 30,000 net issued and paid in that period, then in June, you'll get a check for 8% cash bonus. How that breaks down is, you know, you're looking at, you need to issue and pay $5,000 a month with AmeriCo to qualify for that. So that's, you know, probably a couple apps a week. If you want to take into account that it is net, I mean, if you wrote three a week with AmeriCo, something like that, you know, you'd be right there. So at the end of that, if you qualify for that 8%, you're going to get a $2,400 cash bonus. There's no limit on that. So if you issue and pay $60,000 with them in that time period, you're going to get 8% on all $60,000 of it, you know, or $5,000 cash bonus. So that starts over fresh every 6 months too. So just because you wrote like zero with AmeriCo in the, you know, first half of this year, but when we get to June 1st, it starts over fresh. So if you say, hey, I want to, you know, I want to hit that bonus for the second half of the year, that's fine. You know, everybody starts at zero on June 1st, and then that runs through the end of November, and then right before Christmas, mid-December, they're going to pay out that bonus. So if you look at the fact that most people are getting, you know, better compensation on AmeriCo products than they are with other carriers anyway, throw in 8% on top of that, it's pretty lucrative to ride any of the AmeriCo products. Add in to top of that, that like right now, through the end of next month, they're paying out actually what equals to be a $100 bonus per application that's issued and paid. And it's actually $50 per app, but every 10th app, you get an extra $500. So that actually equates to $100 per app. If you break that down, that $100 per app, into what our average annual premium, our average policy is, that's equal to like 13%. So you get that 13% plus 8% cash bonus if you meet the biannual bonus, then you're looking at like a 23% bump on what your normal AmeriCo commission level is. So anyway, that's why I know I've had more guys asking me about AmeriCo, and completely understandable. So I will actually spend some time today diving into the AmeriCo products. So if you are wanting to write more AmeriCo, you're more comfortable in it, and you feel like you're in a position that you can do it with confidence and, you know, not be guessing and stabbing and getting stuff turned down and everything else. So, and again, we don't care where, you know, which one of our carriers you put your business with. It's whatever works for you and whatever works for your client. AmeriCo is just another one of the options that's there. just kind of a brief overview. Did somebody have a question? Just kind of a brief overview on AmeriCo. They've got really two different final expense product lines. And to let you guys know, AmeriCo used to be, you know, the very best at final expense heads and tails. Really nobody else was in the ballpark with them. So 7 years ago, 8 years ago, something like that, they were really the leader as far as compensation, as far as rates, as far as new business process, you know, things flying through, getting issued in no time. And they actually added a new product and kind of changed the one that was the top dog. And so the things are kind of a little bit different than they were now. But it's still, both of the products are great in their own right. If you go in, you know, with eyes open and you know what to put where. The primary product that we all write with AmeriCo right now is the AmeriCo Eagle, which is their newest product that's probably 3 years old now, somewhere in there. And the AmeriCo Eagle is no paper app involved. There's not a paper app option. You got two options: either do it on your iPad, to where you get signatures on the screen, or call in and do a voice signature process that's like identical to what Royal Neighbors does. And that's, I like it. I would probably say that when I'm out in the field right now, I consider that AmeriCo Eagle as my number one option, as my go-to. That's what I'm writing if I can get it placed. Now, unfortunately, it's not as broad or as accepting as to which clients that you can put with it, because it's got some limitations to it. First limitation, which is the smoker rates are not competitive with it. So automatically, somebody's a smoker, we're looking a different direction. A few things to keep in mind about the Americo Eagle. It's great compensation on folks that are over 80. You know, most of the carriers across the board, and that doesn't matter, the ones that we have or the ones that we don't have, most of them are going to cut your compensation significantly if somebody's over 80. Americo does not. They're paying almost full compensation for somebody all the way up to age 85, and they do pay full compensation all the way up through age 80. And everybody with your Americo contracts, this Eagle product, I call it the iPad product, but the Eagle product pays 10% more than what the Ultra Protector or the other final expense product does. So that's something right there to look at, the full compensation all the way up through age 85. Another thing with both Americo products is their definition of tobacco. They don't ask a general tobacco question like other carriers do. They ask, have you smoked cigarettes in the past 12 months? It is specific to cigarettes. So your pipe smoker, your cigar smoker, your chewing tobacco user, those folks all get non-tobacco rates. And so that's definitely a niche for Americo, that if you have somebody that uses a tobacco other than cigarettes, it's just like they don't use tobacco at all. And that's with both of the Americo products. Another thing, just back specifically on the Eagle, another question I get from agents is, you know, is that Eagle rate really competitive? You know, is that good at all? One thing to keep in mind about the Eagle is that it has double indemnity for accidental death and triple indemnity for common carrier built into it. Automatically on every policy, it's included. So if you take that into an account, or rather if you back that out, then the Americo Eagle rate is right there with everybody else. So, you know, when you're writing somebody that sees value in those, in the accidental death and common transportation, I wrote a truck driver this week at Eagle, and, you know, the fact that it had automatic for accidental death, you know, for him, it could have cost twice as much and he would have taken it over something else. But the Eagle really, I mean, it's got competitive. It's never going to be the cheapest. If you back out those riders, it's competitive with everything else. I don't have an issue placing it rate wise. And I think if you look at it compared to other stuff and you take into account the riders that are on it already, you'll see that it's competitive in there with everything else. And especially when you look at the underwriting with it, because it's accepting tons of stuff that no other level product is. So if you have a perfectly healthy client, you might be able to find them a better rate that makes sense elsewhere. But the Eagle level, their preferred product on this Eagle side, is way more accepting from an underwriting standpoint than any other level product is. So on the Eagle product, again, iPad or phone app, no paper option. It's really kind of an accept-reject. The Eagle level, if you don't get that, then you need to consider it a decline and move on to something else. They do have an Eagle guarantee, the guaranteed issue option on it. It's junk. It's tremendously expensive for a 3-year graded guaranteed issue. So it's not something that we ever even consider writing. So really, it's really a accept or reject. Either you get the Eagle level or you move on. There's no graded option in there. just because we could do 15 times better than the guaranteed issue that it has with it. Americo in general, again, 45 days on a draft as far as the initial draft. So that can kind of, you know, you're meeting with somebody today and they say, well, God, I've already got my bills lined out for March. You know, I could do it on April 3rd, though. Well, Americo's one of the few, Americo and Real Neighbors, and they'll let you push that initial draft up 45 days so you can set up an April 3rd draft and be just fine with it. Again, sticking with the Eagle product, it's an MIB and a script check. If you're doing it on the iPad, there's no phone interview involved. To me, that's one of the most appealing things to that product, is that we can get an instant decision in the house, know for sure if we're approved or not, without having to have a phone conversation with somebody. And a lot of times, you know, you might be with a client, good health, no problem qualifying, but you just know that the phone interview is going to be a disaster. You know, from the client not being able to stay focused to the client wanting to talk about, you know, every other medical condition that we're not asking about. You just know that a phone interview is not a good idea. Well, the Eagle's a great option for that. It used to be our only option for that, for a instant decision in the house without a phone call. And now, as of last week, Security National Life is another option for that. But that can be, as you guys know, with some of the clients we get in front of, a big issue of whether or not they can do a phone interview. So that's an option to do that. So to kind of dive into the Eagle underwriting just a little bit, I mean, where the definite high points are in it. The two most significant things with it from an underwriting standpoint that really separate that product from any of the other level or preferred products we have is on the heart, heart conditions, heart surgeries. It's a 1 year look back. So that's, it doesn't matter if you're talking about the actual heart attack or a stent put in or bypass surgery, pacemaker, defibrillator, anything like that, it's a 1 year look back. So they had a massive heart attack and had a quadruple bypass. As long as it was over 12 months ago, they're going to qualify for that Eagle level. Which, like I said, we don't have any other carriers that will do that after 1 year. And I don't know off the top of my head any other carriers that are out there that'll do that after 1 year. Another thing along with that is blood thinners, blood clots, any kind of circulatory problem. That falls into the 1 year also. So if they're on Plavix, Coumadin, Warfarin, as long as that initial fill was over 12 months ago and they've been on it since, you're good to go. Where you can see some issues on that, or where you might run into a problem, is if they see any gap in getting that prescription filled. So the initial was over 12 months ago, but there's a 3 month period, 6 months ago, there's a 3 month period where they didn't get it filled. That's going to be an issue. So from America's standpoint, they look at that as they just started that 6 months ago or 3 months ago or whenever they picked back up on it. Where that can kind of cause a problem, or I've seen a problem with it before, is a veteran that sometimes they get their meds through the VA and sometimes they get them through the local pharmacy. When Americo pulls a script check, they do not access VA prescriptions. So if you're writing a client that's only ever had their prescriptions filled through the VA, when Americo pulls a script check, it's going to be blank. They're not going to see any of the meds that they're on. So if a client's been on Plavix for 6 years and just 3 months ago they switched to using the VA and then last month they came back, well, Americo's only going to see that they started that prescription recently. In Americo's eyes, that's an event. So if the doctor put you on Plavix at this date, they're assuming that there was an incident at this date. You had a blood clot, you had a stroke, something happened at that date. Otherwise, your doctor wouldn't have started you on this prescription. So that's just something to kind of keep in mind. In general, though, that, I mean, it's that Eagle product stays very true to those guidelines. I mean, I wrote a lady, it'd been a while ago, but, you know, it was like 13 months out. She had a heart attack. So she went in for bypass surgery. While she was having bypass surgery, she had a stroke on the table and got put on Plavix at the same time. That was all 13 months ago. We wrote an Eagle and it got approved just fine because all that was past 12 months. So those are some pretty extreme extreme cases, extreme underwriting situations that that Eagle just plain excels compared to any of the other carriers. The next thing to look at, a big underwriting niche on it, is 2 years on cancer. As long as somebody's 2 years out since their cancer treatment, so they've been cancer-free for 2 years, you're going to be able to get that Eagle level. And again, that's something that's better, different. We don't have anybody else that's going 2 years on cancer. Well, I think Security National Life will do 2 years on cancer. Most carriers that you look at are going to look at 3 years. Security National Life, I think Rural Neighbors will do 2 years. A few other things on the Eagle. Hepatitis. Some carriers, when they look at hepatitis, they want to see, they'll write it, but they want to see no treatment within the last 2 years. Eagle will just flat write hepatitis. You can have hepatitis right now, be treated for it right now, and Eagle level, you'll still get approved just fine. I think that's kind of the big underwriting niches. Like I said, I like the Eagle in general, even for relatively healthy clients, but those are the specific underwriting situations when you'll be able to get in there. Oh, the other one is Parkinson's. That's a big niche for that Eagle level too. Actually for AmeriCo in general, Parkinson's is, it's not a health question on there. It's not underwritten to Parkinson's at all. So somebody that's got Parkinson's even actively being treated with carbidopa, levodopa, or Sinemet, or whatever it is, you're going to be able to get Eagle level just fine. So, I'll pause for a second. Does anybody have any questions on that product before we move on and look at their next one? Okay. If you've never wrote that on the iPad, it's extremely simple to do. It is something that you will actually get a signature on the iPad on the screen while you're there. But they've refined that process pretty well. First of all, you know, when you, you'll get the first signature relatively soon or relatively quickly in the process. So you'll just enter basic information, get that first signature, initiate underwriting, and it's pulling the script check right away. So the good thing about that is usually from the time that you start putting information into your iPad, you're about 3-4 minutes before you'll have a decision, which is very good compared to, like, you know, the Rural Neighbors that we have to go all the way through and bank information and health questions and voice signatures and everything else to find out if we're approved or not. So with that Eagle, you know, if you go to write it and you're not sure, you're kind of like, well, I think you can get qualified for this, well, this could be an issue, throw it in there and see. I mean, you'll know within 3 or 4 minutes if they got approved for it or not. And if it doesn't work out, you know, you can move on to whatever you've got to move on to.
Hey, Matt?
Yep.
On step number 4, they do the script check to initiate underwriting. However, 2 weeks ago, I had an MIB come back at step 12 at the very end. Mm-hmm. And they got approved, but for the guaranteed. So it's not a lock-in, just so you know.
Yep. So they've got two different, and they split that out about 6 months ago. There's actually 2 different steps in it. The first one is the script check. And 99% of the time, you got the one percenter, Greg, and I've had a one percenter too. 99% of the time, if you get that, you are approved for the preferred product up to 30,000, you're good to go. But at the end is when they do the MIB. And Jerry and I actually had a meeting with AmeriCo yesterday, and it's the first time I've received an explanation on why that split up. At the end, there's another underwriting step to where the MIB is done, and there is a possibility that the scripts were clean, but the MIB has an issue. It's very rare, but it is a possibility. The reason they split that up for that is that any company that wants to use MIB information, so they want to benefit from it, they want to check clients out on it, has to also agree to contribute to the MIB pool. And so if they gave us that MIB answer before this person answered health questions, America wouldn't have any information to contribute to the pool. So we have to ask the health questions first, then the MIB answer, so therefore we have information to contribute to the pool. So, and that was good. I appreciated that explanation from them, because I always wondered why they couldn't do both of those right up front. But like I said, they said it's less than 1% actually, to where those two answers don't line up. But yeah, could happen. And like, I've been there too, and that's frustrating. But luckily it's rare that's ever an issue. Last thing on the Eagle, you can write that without being face to face. So if you have a client in a different state, if you have a client that's just, you know, on the other side of the state, or, you know, that you can't get out to, whatever, you can get the client on the phone, enter their information into the iPad, and there's an option when it comes time to sign. You've got two options. One is tablet signature, which is what you're going to do when you're face-to-face in a house. The other one is to email for a signature. So they have to have an email address, but as soon as you hit that, it'll send them an email. They can actually sign with their finger on their smartphone, or they can sign with their mouse on the computer, whatever it is. Hit submit, it comes back, update your iPad, you finish it. You know, that's one option if you're not face-to-face. The other one is to do the phone sales. And the phone sales is just calling in, doing a three-way phone call. The phone option you can do in a house too. I mean, you can do that face-to-face or non-face-to-face. I definitely prefer the iPad if I'm face-to-face with somebody over the phone, because like I said, that's the phone call is just a can of worms I usually prefer not to open. They're both an option, either when you're face-to-face or if you have to call a client up and do something remotely. All right, so we'll move on to the other AmeriCo product, which is called the Ultra Protector. This is the original product that AmeriCo probably launched in 2005, 2006, somewhere in there. And the one that used to be the leader in the industry by far, but it's not the same product that it was then. It's undergone some changes as far as rates and benefits go, and it's undergone a lot of changes as far as underwriting goes. It has some very specific niches that are appealing to us, but I throw this out there with full disclosure, it can be a bear when it comes to underwriting. And what I mean by that is a lot of times you look at the Ultra Protector and you're like, oh, this looks great. It checks out. They said no to the questions. I looked every one of these medications up in the book and it says it's good to go. And then you get rated down a level or you get declined and you just simply can't figure it out. So like I said, on our end, usually when we have, you know, a lot of times if we have new agents come on, we won't even start them out with AmeriCo, just because we don't want them to, you know, start submitting their first few apps and they get declined or anything like that. So, but you know, if you're comfortable with your underwriting and you, like I said, come into it with full disclosure, there's some very good uses for AmeriCo, or excuse me, for the Ultra Protector. And again, I say that because I don't see any of these issues with the Eagle, with the iPad product, that I do with the Ultra Protector. So the Ultra Protector is a paper app. It's only a paper app. It does not have an iPad or an electronic option. It does not have a phone option. It does not have a phone inspection. It is simply write the app, send it in, it goes through underwriting. So the Eagle, on the other hand, the iPad option, an underwriter never touches it. It's 100% done by the computer. So computer matches it up, checks meds. And if those meds check out, the computer prints the policy and it's going out to the client the same day. An underwriter never even touches it or looks at it. The Ultra Protector, the paper option, those all have to go across an underwriter's desk and they look at all those manually. So with the Ultra Protector, so kind of differences between that and the Eagle, it actually has three different options. Ultra Protector 1, Ultra Protector 2, Ultra Protector 3. Ultra Protector 1 is the preferred, you know, all questions are no, level benefit. Ultra Protector 2 is top section of questions is no, bottom is yes. There's a yes in the bottom somewhere. But it's also a level benefit. That does not make it a graded benefit. It's still immediate coverage, even on the Ultra Protector 2. Ultra Protector 3 is their guaranteed issue. We choose not to answer any health questions. And it's, again, it's identical to the guaranteed issue on the Eagle side, exact same, and it's horrible. There's just no valid reason you should ever write somebody an Ultra Protector 3 or an Eagle guarantee, just because we've got much, much better options. Back on the tobacco, it's the same as the Eagle. It's actually not a tobacco question. It's a cigarette specifically question. So pipe, cigar, chewing tobacco, those are all considered non. But if somebody is a cigarette smoker, that automatically makes them an Ultra Protector 2. So the cigarette question is in the health questions. So that's a yes in section number 2. It makes them a Ultra Protector 2, still a level benefit, but a higher rate. Does not have the accidental and the common carrier built into it, but you can add them. Same thing on the initial draft, 45 days. If you need to, you can push that out. The actual underwriting protocol is the same as the Eagle. It's going to pull an MIB and a script check. The difference being is that an underwriter will then sit down and look at that MIB and that script check compared to the computer doing it itself. Specific niches that the Eagle is very good for, or excuse me, that the Ultra Protector is very good for. First of all, just their preferred non-smoker has got very good rates. If you look at the Ultra Protector number 1, somebody that's in clean health, a non-smoker, they're going to be just as competitive with any of the other carriers. And again, I say that with caution because a lot of times you look at a couple blood pressures, a cholesterol, you know, innocuous medications. You're like, well, that's a protector number 1 and that's a non-smoker. Well, I'm going to write it. It's a great rate. There's underwriting hangups with the Ultra Protector that we've never quite been able to get to the bottom of. And what it all boils down to is on that Ultra Protector product, they, for some reason, it's been explained to us, they have a formula and every prescription has a point value associated with it. And they have some threshold, like say 20 points. And if you add up the point value of every prescription and it goes over 20, it's going to be declined. Even though each one of those prescriptions checks out individually, it's going to be declined. Now, the sticking point, and I think I've been having the same conversation with AmeriCo for 5 years, 6 years, heck, I don't even know, maybe longer, is that they won't let us in the field know what those point values are. Because if they would, it would make our job a lot easier. We could easily add up and say, oh, yeah, that's not going to work. And I've asked AmeriCo many times, what are the point values? We don't know. Well, somebody's got to know. Somebody designed that system and decided what the point values were. Nobody knows. So that's where, I mean, I automatically, if you have a bunch of prescriptions, multiple prescriptions, I'd stay away from the Ultra Protector. Even though they look like they're innocuous and they all check out being, you know, Ultra Protector number one, when you look them up in the book, stay away from it. And I say that, and a lot of guys just have to get burnt by it before they listen to me. And they send them in and they get rated or declined, or but multiple prescriptions, you're better off to just stay away from that Ultra Protector. Now, the things where Ultra Protector is really good. So I'd mentioned that the cigarette question is makes them an Ultra Protector number two right away, level benefit. Well, that Ultra Protector two is a blended rate, meaning that cigarette smokers and non-cigarette smokers pay the same rate in that Ultra Protector number two. So they do ask a cigarette question, which if you say yes, it makes you Ultra Protector number two, but it's going to be the same rate in that Ultra Protector number two for a smoker and a non-smoker. So for a non-smoker, that rate's going to be higher than what they could probably get comparatively. For a smoker, that rate's going to be lower because it's kind of an average rate in there. So where AmeriCo really excels, a smoker with COPD, the smoker or the cigarette, COPD make them an Ultra Protector 2, still a level benefit, so day one coverage for somebody with COPD, but even though they smoke, it's a blended rate, so that rate's going to be cheaper than what they could look at somewhere else. So that is a very, very big niche for the Ultra Protector number 2, smokers with COPD. Now, a non-smoker with COPD, still a good product for them. I mean, because they can get level coverage. And, you know, with our carriers, the only other place that we're looking at that is a surety for level coverage with COPD. So a non-smoker with COPD, still level coverage with the Ultra Protector. But, again, being a blended rate, they're going to be paying a little more than, like, Security National Life, a smoker with COPD, you're going to get them cheaper coverage. It's going to be graded. Versus the Ultra Protector 2, you're going to get them level coverage, but it's going to be cheaper because they're a smoker and it's a blended rate. Another very significant niche with that Ultra Protector 2 is liver problems. So whether that is hepatitis, cirrhosis, liver failure, all of those we can write in Ultra Protector number 2. So day one coverage for all of those things. In the hepatitis, we can also do with the Eagle or the iPad product, but not like cirrhosis or liver failure, liver insufficiency, any of those things, we can't. So that Ultra Protector 2 is a very good product for those. Again, so if you're writing a client and that's all they're faced with, COPD, they got 3 inhalers, 1 blood pressure medicine, I'm going to put them with that Ultra Protector 2. But if I'm writing a client, COPD, smoker, so they've got 2 inhalers, and they've got diabetes, and they've got 3 blood pressure medications, and they've got an arrhythmia, whatever else, I mean, you start compounding stuff, I'm going to stay away from that Ultra Protector. Because more often than not, it's going to lead to issues. You're going to get kicked down to an Ultra Protector 3 in it. just to kind of wrap up on AmeriCo there, kind of some of the things that they do really well, and I'd mentioned this last week, their standard protocol for insufficient funds is it will automatically set up the following month to double draft. Other carriers will do that if you take the initiative and you get the client on a three-way call and the client gives authorization. But AmeriCo, it's just by default, if there's an insufficient funds, they get a letter, you know, sorry, you missed your premium. In order to get this caught up, it's going to draft double, which is this amount, on the 3rd of March. And I think that's very helpful. I mean, that really helps out as far as help getting insufficient funds back on the books. AmeriCo, in general, business-wise,
40.
If you're writing that Eagle product, the client gets the policy extremely fast. If you write an Eagle on the iPad or on the phone before 3 p.m., that policy goes out the same day. Literally could have a policy in their hands, you know, 2 days after you write them. That's something that I think helps with placement also. In contrast to like Security National Life, they're not going to send the policy out until that first premium's made. So you visit with somebody on February 7th and they want their drafts to start March 3rd. Well, that policy doesn't even get printed up until March 3rd. So they're realistically looking at like 5 weeks after you have been there before they get a policy in their hands. That can be an issue with some clients. They're also looking at, you know, if they look at their bank statement or they get on their phone and check out their bank statement, you know, they're going to see a draft from Security National Life and they don't even have a policy yet. That can be an issue with some people. Something you need to explain to them and let them know they're not going to send this out until your first premium's made. But I've gone through lengths to explain that to people and they still call me up and say, where the hell is my policy at? But on the AmeriCo side, they get policies out very quickly. And with that Eagle, I mean, you could have a policy in their hands two days after they sign off on it. So, that's all I got. Does anybody have any questions about AmeriCo, about the Eagle or the Ultra Protector?
Hey, Matt, this is Mike. A quick comment. Just got an email, I think, this morning. AmeriCo is going to do replacement on the iPad now. No separate paper on replacements.
Yes, very good. Thanks for bringing that up. And that's something that was usually the only time we would have to submit anything by paper is if you were doing a replacement, you used to have to submit a paper replacement form. But now we're after tonight. They're going to do an update at 8 p.m. Central tonight. And then, so when you get on next week to use that Eagle, if it's a replacement, that replacement form will pop up right with the other form. So, yeah, thanks for bringing that up, Mike.
Sure. And thanks, Matt.
Matt, wasn't there a talk yesterday of submitting your iPad business prior to 12 o'clock midnight or something like that? Thinking of something else.
Yeah, no, you're exactly right. And we had kind of touched on this last week a little bit, just about, you know, crossing your T's, dotting your I's, making sure you follow the rules. You know, part of something that AmeriCo is doing just to help, I guess, prevent any ethics issues is that, and I think it happens also with this update tonight, is that the sales connection is going to be unavailable between like, I think it's midnight Central time. I can't remember the times exactly, but in non-business hours when people just simply aren't conducting business, so like midnight to 4 a.m. or something like that, that sales connection is going to shut down and be unavailable. And it's just in AmeriCo's eyes, it takes the possibility of, you know, an agent jumping on, you know, they're sitting at their desk at 1 o'clock in the morning and say, oh God, I forgot to get this signature and signing it themselves or something like that. Like I said, we touched on it last week, but you know, they can see the IP address that you're submitting business from. They can see what time that signature was actually placed. So, you know, when they were getting signatures that were done at, you know, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the morning, that was an immediate red flag for them that, hey, something's up, but they're just eliminating that. So it's going to be unavailable, between whatever those hours are. Another thing, just as a reminder on that, if you're doing an Eagle and you're not face-to-face and you're emailing out for the signature, that has to be completed same day. So you need to tell that client, hey, I just sent you an email for your signature. If they don't sign it by midnight, then it voids out and you got to start over. So not the app. I mean, the app's going to stay valid in your sales connection for, I think, 14 days and give you a chance to complete it. But that signature request, if it's not completed by midnight, will time out and you'll have to go back through it again. So, other than that, anybody else have anything that they'd like to ask or add concerning Mirico? Okay. Any other issues? Lead, closing, running clients down, objections. Anything else anybody would like to talk about? All right. Well, that's all I've got. So thank you guys for being on here with us. Hope you all have a great weekend. If there's anything we can do on our end, then don't ever hesitate to call, and we'll do everything we can to help you out. So,
thanks, Matt. Appreciate it.
Take care, guys.
Well done, Matt. Thank you.